Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we're going to have George Dixon joining us shortly. And he's going to be talking to us about the synchronicity tonight, I believe. And we may also get into the Martian colonies.
Because there was some, there were some articles out on some Martian colonies. One
actually,
actually there was one on Eisenhower's granddaughter talks a lot about it. It's quite an interesting article.
Let's see if we can find it.
And there were a lot of links from that to other articles on colonies and remote viewing and all kinds of things that I found quite fascinating. I was hoping he can get to the site. Okay.
I'm just looking up this the website article. I should have had it bookmarked, but I didn't.
Just go all the way down.
Yeah,
wait,
it just takes a while for the site.
If you just type it up in the search and...
come up eventually. You see, those are the little things for every page. You get 2,000...
going too fast.
Bajillion.
You're going to miss it.
Here it is, it's right in this area right here. It's right around here somewhere.
There. We're looking to see if we can find the article.
Yeah, I couldn't locate it easily.
Leo didn't have it bookmarked.
So, hang on one second. George, if you're on the line here, I'll be right there. It's in this bunch.
Going too fast.
No, I can recognize it when I see it.
There was no picture.
Yes, there was.
It was a very small one, if there was one.
It was a picture of her, I think.
It was one of the first three or four articles.
It's right around here.
You're already gone.
No. Ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. Maybe. I don't know where it is. Can't find it. Maybe it was taken off the site. Controversial. Yeah, I can't. Wait a minute. There it is. Okay.
Whistleblower Lar.
Let me pull up the whole article.
Why don't you bookmark it? We'll go and see if George is.
Hang on a second. There we go. Oops. What is this problem here?
Just bookmark it.
Wait, it's not up there fully yet. For some reason there.
Be right with you, George. I know you're on the line. We're going
to
get right to you. We just had
I just lost the page here. This is a problem. Oh, Lord.
We Leo's having kind of a rough time.
I'm having a rough time here. Hang on a second. I'm trying to get back to the page, and it's not being cooperative. Usually it stays down here.
Mm.
But hang on a second, George. I'll be with you. It's time to get through this technological breach here.
Trying to get back to Blog Talk Radio, actually. So, folks, just bear with us.
Yeah, bear with us, yeah.
We wanted to bookmark that in case we wanted to bring it up and talk about it. Ah, there you are, George. Okay.
All right, hang on a second. Bring George Dixon back with us. Hey, George.
How you doing?
Hey, did you hear us fumbling around?
Yeah, I heard you do something there.
Yeah, we were trying to bookmark something, and then we tried to get back to Blog Talk Radio, and we had to go start from the beginning to get back to it. It didn't stay where it was supposed to. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome for having me. I enjoy this. I wonder what the hell you were doing. You know, you sounded like you were shuffling cards there for a bit.
Well, we were trying to find the article actually on Eisenhower's granddaughter, who talks about remote viewing and all kinds of things that I thought you'd be interested in hearing about.
Thanks. Whistleblower Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, Ike's great-granddaughter, out secret Mars project colony project. Kind of cool.
Were you familiar with that article?
Well, I, it crossed my path, I think one of the emails that I got earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I checked it out, and went pretty far with it, I question why it's being brought out right now. And, I question a lot of it. I really do.
What is it that you question about it, George? What is it that bothers you?
Well, I think the whole idea of the alternative three, that there are alternative programs put into motion. And I do believe that there were plans put in motion, but I think they're just trying to play games with it.
Well,
I don't give it too much credence at this point.
Well, just so I was just going to read what it was quickly,
listeners will understand.
It's an article, and you can go to this article.
It's examiner.com, Hartford.
Examiner.com, actually.
Yeah.
And it shows Hartford for some reason.
I don't know whether it's a Hartford paper website.
But it says, in a public statement, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, great-granddaughter of former President Dwight David Eisenhower, has exposed her attempted recruitment from April 2006 through January 2007 by a secret Mars colony project. Mrs. Eisenhower's account of her targeting by time travel, surveillance, and attempted manipulation by trained intelligence agents attached to a Mars colony project were revealed in an exopoliticspoliticsradio.org interview and in an extensive written statement at Mrs. Eisenhower's website. And Kilia,
a Stanford-educated artist, futurist, and colleague of Ms. Eisenhower, has provided a corroborating first-hand witness account of her and Ms. Eisenhower's attempted recruitment into a secret human survival colony on Mars, available at Kai Leah's website.
Right.
The alleged purpose of the secret Mars colony was to provide a survival civilization for the human race on Earth in the event of a planned, such as HARP or bioweapon-induced or natural cataclysms, such as by solar flares that might depopulate the Earth.
I'm just going to go to her, quickly to her website, because it says 2012 Earth timelines and secret Mars agenda. And, So I don't know. What do you say? So you think it's kind of a weird article, an untimely article, huh?
Well, it's the same old yada yada that I've heard for years and years and years, And watch out, because it's going to be implemented now. But, there are underground installations right now on the Earth, and supposedly there are underground installations on Mars, where the Martians did go underground at one point because their atmosphere was blown away. But, we're going back thousands and thousands of years.
How is their atmosphere blown away, George? What happened?
I don't know, but it was earlier in time. And you know, it could have been a couple million years, or it could have been a billion years. You know, some people believe it. You know, it was quite a ways back, but apparently something came in and blew the hell out of the atmosphere, and you know, it sucked everything right out.
Why do you think they would be attracted to
a colony there?
Not just a colony, but to what's her name, the Eisenhower's granddaughter, great granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be? Why would they use somebody like her?
I don't know, but I think it's the establishment or the understanding of Mars. And, you know, with writings of antiquity and so forth, they do talk, Zechariah Sitchin talks about Mars as basically a landing port and a shuttling port, you know, in between, star systems. And, you know, it was like a Martian a galactic outpost for the military establishment, you know, of the Anunnaki, and that's part of the Earth Chronicle writings of Zechariah Sitchin's.
Oh, okay, so that was.
But yeah. That goes with a hype, I think, of the Mars colony. Originally, there was a Mars colony supposed to be established, you know, to take care of the Earthlings who when the population gets out of control, and you know, it's just another place to go and to live.
Right. So, yeah, you know, okay, well, that's fine.
Well,
yeah,
she said she was chosen because she has twins who are supposed to be the reincarnation of Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome.
Yeah, I think she's out of her loon, man, but.
Anyway,
I don't know. It sounds a little loony to me, but.
But I just thought it was kind of.
Does that make sense to you? Do you, George?
No, but you know, Leo, what you're saying is true, because throughout the years, you know, you get some rebel causes that, you know, will jump on a bandwagon and you know make something out of it, just like the MJ-12 papers. You know, you could look into the papers and still chase your tail around because you don't know what the hell's going on.
I think J-12 papers are, George. Could you tell me?
Well, basically, that was the establishment of the aliens here, and counteracted by the government, set up to watch the aliens, and also a part of the government, the CIA, was established.
Kind of like the Men in Black.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it talks about how. The intelligence was interweaving within the executive power, and that was all done by executive orders and committees like the 5210, I believe, which was a part of the orders that were establishing the CIA or the NSA, you know, after reestablishing or breaking down the intelligence of World War II. But you know that basically was the MJ-12 papers and the people that who were on the different committees that helped establish and set up this this chain of command, and Eisenhower was one who was briefed on the matter.
Oh,
right. Now, according to Jim Mars, I brought this up before. He stated that McNamara, the Secretary of State there, McNamara, told him that the war on terror, of course, or the war on
the Cold War.
Cold War was over. The war on terror was just beginning. This was an interview he had in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, terrorism was going to be the next wave for the next 20 years or more, and he says then it was going to be aliens. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be
the next sphere
that they're going to
build up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
By putting things out like this, especially on David Icke's site, which is, you know, I don't agree with everything he said. Some of it makes no sense, but other things that he said do. This one here just seemed awful strange to me, you know. This is a little too strange. So, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
So but, what is it? Does it walk like a duck or not?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't really walk like a duck in the sense that, yeah, it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and quacks like a duck. And it sounds like a crank, quacky kind of thing.
But I don't think it's any more cranky or quacky than anything else. And she's talking about remote viewing. She's talking about all kinds of things that other people.
No, she's there, I don't know. I just question the authority. That's all, you know. And it very well could be because
I don't think she's any more right or wrong than anybody else.
A lot of military people and a lot of political people, their kids are part of the MK Ultra stuff. They're all part. They're all.
Yeah, but Leo, you say you question the authority. You may question the authority, but the authority has nothing to do with it. It's actually what's being used and what they're doing. I mean, there is no authority when it comes to that other than, you know, the strong will prevail. And so how much power you do have.
Is it real? I don't know.
Well, it is real, Leo.
So much false reality that it's difficult to see reality sometimes.
Well, what's scary is right now, you know, anything and everything can happen.
Right.
You know, right now there's a lot of compiling real quick about, you know, time travel and some of the beliefs from the, you know, the 50s and the 60s. But, you know, we've incorporated that, you know, into our daily consciousness, if you'd want to call it that. And, you know, it's no longer a question. You know, it exists.
That's true.
So, you know, looking at what we're going through right now with the Mayan calendar, on the sixth night, we are actually receiving, experiencing both ends of the spectrum in our way of thinking and, you know, our thoughts and so forth.
Right.
And, you know, it's in completion. If you take a look at some of the commercials and the things around us nowadays, there was one commercial that caught my attention on TV. It's about this alarm company where, you know, a person is saying goodnight to her guest and so forth, and apparently there was a guy that was there that she never met before, but, you know, everybody was saying goodbye, and, you know, the next minute somebody's trying to break in the back door, and it's this fellow that she met that evening. And, you know, what it is that people are experiencing not only the benefit of the security of having an alarm system where somebody would notice it right away, but also the other side of the emotions of being attacked or, you know, being hurt. And, you know, it's not that these things don't happen. They do happen. But now the instant choice of good and bad is experienced, you know, in just these commercials. But, you know, it's like the yin and yang of everyday life. It's not only seeing it, but you're experiencing it. And, you know, right down to, you know, small events in our own personal lives, you know. It could be our health or, you know, an accident or something that you experience a full impact of what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this deal with the sixth night again?
Well, it's putting that illusionary mind into action, or your dreams, or your make-believe fantasies are manifesting themselves. So, you know, you have a manifestation of your wants, and it's things coming out of thin air and manifest and producing itself. It's like your dreams coming true and becoming reality.
That's
what's happening.
That's what's happening. It is true. It is happening everywhere. It's happening in my life and Lila's. And it's just amazing. Don't you think?
Sometimes I got to pinch myself. You know, am I dreaming or not? But, you know, it's real. And it's like, it's not that I lost control of my own senses, but, you know, sometimes it's all one. It's not separated by space and time. It's only separated by the emotional being that I'm in at the time, or anybody's in.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because I noticed when one of Lila's big dreams was having a grandkid,
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
and it manifested. And those are, that was just a year or so ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
well, actually, he'll be two this summer, so 18 months ago.
It was still a dream that you
mm-hmm.
know that came true. You know, very long and
much waited
way,
for
in a strange way.
Child.
In itself, you know, just you know, but it's something that she wanted, and it happened. So many things that I've wanted, and so many things I wanted to happen, have happened, and are continuing to happen, and they're speeding up. They're speeding up, and very, very, very quickly. I'm noticing all these things are starting to come into play, into sync.
Well, they're coming into sync, Leo?
Yeah, they're coming into sync. They're coming into focus. They're coming into view.
Oh, all right, focus I'll accept, but, you know, I'm looking at Toyota right now.
They're coming
and
in, you know, they're coming in, they're manifesting, is what I should say. You know?
Yeah, he had a bad choice of words there.
Yeah. You know, they're here. They're mm-hmm. starting. They're everywhere. It's all popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our conversation here, you know, things that are have been unclear for so long are suddenly, really, suddenly becoming clear. And this aspect, I remember I was reviewing a few shows we did last year, a little while ago, and we were talking about that manifestation of reality. And I was listening to that show, and I was thinking how it was about a year or so or more ago that we discussed it, and it was still, and the questions I had then, I guess I don't have anymore. You know, they've been answered. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of interesting. But I'm not. Mm-hmm. But
Leo, from a polarity point of view, take a look now at Toyota.
Yeah.
And what's happening right now is not good. You know, here, you know, asking for forgiveness that something is wrong, but understand that one thing after another is coming out to haunt them, and haunt them by the engineering or something with what they did. And, you know, we're talking about big recalls. So, you know, you can't, you're seeing it for what it is, even though Toyota wants to, you know, apologize, you know, they're apologizing for the way the things what they end up being, and it's not good. And, you know, now they're being exposed for what they are.
But
so I'm not saying that this exposure is good. It's going to be bad because they're going to lose business, and things like this put businesses out of business.
I think you got to recognize too that the you know, we're seeing more and more and more of this not only in companies but in politics.
Tiger Wood.
yeah.
And in the personal lives of celebrities.
Well, I find interesting between Tiger Woods and the president of Toyota, both were very reluctant to come out and speak,
mm-hmm.
and they were both kind of forced to come out and do it.
Right. Right.
The
mm-hmm.
president of Toyota now has to go to Congress. He didn't want to. He was going to send an underling. Tiger Woods didn't come out for a long time and finally now has made some kind of half-hearted apology, I guess.
And no questions were to be asked, right?
Yeah, he's kind of a control freak, I think.
Well,
you know, it's his life.
See, the beauty of it is you see it for what it is, Lila. You know, you see it. You see behind the mask. And, you know, the mask is not hiding anything anymore. And that is part of what we're experiencing right now. You can't
hide it. Apocalypse, the word apocalypse didn't really mean the military end of the world. It meant the unveiling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the apocalypse means in Greek,
yeah.
Is the unveiling. And believe it or not, it actually means a leather bag or a leather pouch. And the apocalypse is the flap over the leather pouch, you know. So it's what references the opening or the unveiling of the, you know, universe, basically.
Mm.
The unveiling. of the truth. And nobody can hide from it. It's a frightening thing. Nobody can really hide anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Are what you are, what you are. You know, and either face it or dig a hole in the ground and hide your head. But but if you look at all of these revelations with Edwards and with Tiger Woods and with Elliot Spitzer, just all of this has happened. Spitzer happened about a year ago or so.
Yes, well, and a couple of years, yeah.
A year or two. But it felt more or less within the sixth day or so. But the sixth night, definitely, since November, we've been looking at quite a few heads getting chopped.
Yeah.
People's heads bowing in disgrace. And I think you're going to see more as we go through this year. But
Leo, I read that article that you sent about that fellow who set his house afire.
Yeah.
And he also flew his plane into the IRS building.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a suicide note?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
What did you think of that?
well, the suicide note was, I think, his gripe with the IRS on how he didn't get a fair deal.
You know what amazed me about the note was rather calm and it was. I mean, he had somewhat of a rant on that, but he seemed to be very calculated as to what he was doing. And you know, he wrote that 45 minutes before, he finished that 45 minutes before he dive bombed into the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems so, you know how it ended, like, you know, see you later, you know what I mean? And then he had to go off and he ended the letter, and then he went off and bombed the building. I read something tonight that said, a brief thing that said somebody else in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been somebody else in the plane with him.
Well, I heard the news that there were two people that died. One was a pilot, they presumed, but another one could have been somebody in the building itself.
Well, I thought, yeah, he was the pilot.
Yeah. Yes.
It was his plane, but there was somebody else in the cockpit. They're saying that there was somebody else there.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it was his wife. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think for the whole story, you know, something, it doesn't sound right. It really doesn't. I mean, if a guy was going to go that far to kill himself, he would have said more than, you know, that suicide note that he left behind.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, the IRS and its purpose and the laws and the codes and so forth, you know, there's a hell of a problem, you know, with that, and also with the legal aspects of the IRS or even the Justice Department itself.
Oh,
because
no, I know. When he saw what they did with him, it was kind of a nightmare. But there was something I wanted to mention to you that I found odd, because it came up today on my Facebook, which was from David Icke. And
mm-hmm.
It was a combined message from David Icke and Alex Jones, that they believed that the accident or this crash was sponsored by either the CIA or an in-house or the government to take demonize the Tea Party movement, okay, in the country, and you know, the people that are in tax revolt and tax reformers and all this kind of stuff. But I don't know.
You know, it makes sense, Leo. It really does. Lila, how do you feel about that?
I don't know what to think.
Yeah, this guy was just,
I don't know. The IRS can be relentless, and it's very difficult to fight back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to have money to fight them, and if they've frozen all your accounts and taken all your money, you're virtually rendered helpless.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to prove yourself innocent.
They don't have to prove themselves.
They don't have to prove their case. You have to prove yourself otherwise against what they're saying. That takes a lot of resources and time and intelligence.
So, but this guy, from the, what I saw in the letter there, he had enough. And it was a retaliation. But there's no reflection on the Tea Party with that. I didn't see any. I just saw a completely frustrated, suicidal individual. And even mentioned in that suicide letter how he remembered people in the Depression jumping off buildings, you know what I mean, after they lost all. And that's what he was seeing. And he saw what the desperation was fighting against the IRS. Thing against all of his fortune several times over. So, I saw him just more I see it as an individual act that was done, but at the same time, it could now be used as a propaganda tool for against the Tea Party and the tax movement. They may very well use it, we're being constantly bombarded by PSYOPs programs and, diversion programs.
Yes, you're right, Leo, but I think it's just individual assertion that, you can wade through and see the malarkey for what it is. And, I went through the materials and, something doesn't smell right or doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of... there's a lot of spin putting on a lot of the same old yada yada. And, I could see, once I get into something, I review something, I could see the paradigm that, it's where it's coming from and where it's going.
Right.
And, it's having an understanding of, when somebody is pulling my leg and when somebody isn't. I mean, there are a lot of smart cookies out there.
Yeah.
But, I'll get emails from people. And right away, I'll get another email contradicting that, coming from somewhere I don't know. But they're all part of these different groups that I've belonged to over the years. And it's like a wave of persuasion that goes through the internet with mail and just with knowledge. It comes and it goes, and it's yin and it's yang. And it's nothing other than just a reflection of something passing in the wind.
Yeah. Huh. That's true. Yeah, it's true in many ways. So what is your...
Could you talk a little bit about those Martian colonies? I'm interested in that, I guess. They're all underground, you said, right?
Yeah, well, supposedly, the atmosphere above Mars is not really hospitable to our life forms.
Oh.
Apparently, inside Mars, they have the ability for habitat. And it's just like the inner Earth. There are spaces in the inner Earth that people live and survive, and have lived there for millions of years. And I say millions because this is a very old planet, and there are people or consciousness that's lived outside the Earth and on the inside of the Earth, and this is a cycle that's been going on for eons.
Hmm.
With Mars, if you take a look at Mars and Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing, they're a reflection, I think, of the polarity that we have in our world. When we think of Venus, we think of beauty, of something nice. But when we think of Mars, we think of something forceful, something warlike. And I think it's from the stereotypifying that we give, of these planets. But, if we go back through history, we could see that it still had that type of response to us. And, years ago, somebody asked me, if we sent a ship to Mars, how do you think they would respond to us humans? And, you know, my question is, you know, would they even respond to us? Because once you go outside, the earthly environment, you know, our groundation point, our zero point, I should say, is lost. And so we have no zero reference that we can go to. So, you know, if we were, traveling on a rocket to Mars, at one point we would lose the grips of the gravitational or the emotional attachments to Earth, and then we would start gravitating toward Mars. And, you know, with the understanding that we have of Mars are very forceful and warlike, you know, my question would be is that at a certain point, you know, we wouldn't dare contact the Earth or even relate to the Earth because they would be our enemies because of the, you know, the connotations that we have. So, you know, it's the different environment or the emotional aspects, you know, that a creature would feel. And if you take a look at Venus and from records from past civilizations, that it was a landing or jumping off point, if you'd want to call it, that like Mars is, you know, to the Nibiru and the Anunnaki, Venus was the same that took us outside of our solar system into different star systems. Just like our sun is actually a wormhole that connects with Sirius, the star Sirius, where that is our sister star in the heavens, if you'd want to call it that. And we connect directly to that star system. You have any questions?
No, not so far. I was just listening away.
Yeah.
And I've heard it before, but, you know, every once in a while I feel like I need to be refreshed again, you know, because it kind of passes out of your mind. And just keep continuing, George, because it's interesting.
Well, you know, with Mars, it's through the Mars that the Martians came and established themselves, 50,000 years. It could be 500,000 years. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the latest group of Martians came from the future, supposedly, where they went into our deep past from the future. And it was about within the last couple hundred thousand years that they intermingled within the different races of the Earth.
And brought us along to be more civilized and more, would you say, George? Is that what their goal was?
Well, no, I think they were looking for another place to live because of the situation with Mars itself. Now, some people believe that the loss of the atmosphere of Mars was due to a collision that happened with a planet that was between Jupiter and Mars, which was called Tiamat. And what happened is Nibiru, this 12th planet in our solar system, as it was coming through in its elliptical orbit close to the sun, which really brought it between Mars and Jupiter in the path of Tiamat, that one of the moons of Nibiru, when it passed, hit Tiamat and smashed it in half. And what happened is that half of the debris from that planet Tiamat became the asteroid belt, and the other half collided with the Earth, and it also it impacted and became part of the Earth.
Oh.
Now, the moon was a moon of Tiamat at one time, but what happened is that it was blown out of the orbit it was in, and it was established around the Earth.
Okay.
So, because of that collision, Mars was affected, and it could have been the reasons why the atmosphere was blown away, or something opened a large hole in the atmosphere, and the atmosphere, the air itself, just leaked right out.
Hmm.
Oh, well. What can we expect from this? We expect to see these guys, or expect to have?
Yeah. Leo, I don't know. I could say yes, and I could say no. Other than anything could happen, and any thought or relationship that we read about or we can think about is manifesting itself. It's finding a It's finding a place, and it's manifesting. And it's regardless of where it came from, but it's got to fulfill itself. Just like the understanding of organized religion and salvation. Believe it or not, all these different belief systems has to manifest itself because of, the consciousness that was put out there. It comes around, goes around, and by God, it will complete itself, and we can't get away from that.
Well, I think what's interesting about this particular article with the colonies is that it states when Hitler died and the Nazis lost power, the entities, including those that were ET extraterrestrial, did not. And they continue to find hosts and create agreements with people who were a part of the races of the patriarch and global elite who want to run things through fear tactics, control, and suppression of Sophia, or the essence of the divine feminine. And then she goes on. But I think that it's kind of interesting that we bring about that divine feminine aspect, Sophia as well, because that's I think that was mentioned in the Agni Yoga. But I know that Peter Moon, in his books, in a number of his books, but particularly the last one, Transylvanian Sunrise, or
yes, Transylvanian Sunrise,
where he talks about synchronicity and stuff. Is that the one, or is the one before?
I think it's the one before.
I was amazed by the connections that he made through the synchronicity, and how he rather validated that his theory through all of the different things that happened to him, the connections he made that enlightened him to and brought him further to truth. And even gave him his own name, Peter Moon.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I've known Peter for a good number of years, and it's funny. Even with the Montauk series and so forth, before he wrote it, we talked, and he was the one who picked up on synchronicity. There's a reason for everything, and he didn't understand what it was, but he's seen a pattern, and he brought to my attention so many times that. The things all they synchronize together.
Yeah, they do.
And
they really do. It's amazing. The more I was drawn, the more I followed his book. I read the entire book because it was fascinating. And I happened to agree with him. I had to agree with him on a lot of areas there. But he brought out some extremely interesting new concepts, though. Regarding religion and regarding race and regarding planetary origin or at least human origins, so some very, very interesting insights, into the psychic and as well as the universal powers that seem to govern our existence, And perhaps, I don't know if that's all because we're becoming aware of it, or if it's because it's being made aware of, making itself aware, just like everybody is trying to the concepts in life is to make yourself known, make your idea known, make your presence known. So that's just,
I think it's a little of both, Leo.
It's just following the cosmic pattern right now to wherever that leads, but it's bringing with it this wave of electrical synchronicity, if you will, that links people up in very strange ways. But it comes, I start at the beginning of my book. The first line in my book starts with an Emerson quote that says, "O believest as thou livest, that for every word that you are meant to hear will come to your ear, you know."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's stating that whatever is meant for you to hear or experience will come to you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says through odd and winding passages, but nevertheless, that is the essence of his message, which was whatever you're meant to hear, you'll hear.
Mm-hmm.
What you're not meant to hear, you won't. And
mm-hmm.
so it's just very strange that if something is important, and I've seen this happen so many times in my life that it's become a truism to me, that I picked up on things or heard things that nobody else, or very few other people have heard, you know,
mm-hmm.
about. I've seen things that few people have seen. You've seen things that few people have seen. But nevertheless, that synchronicity develops with all of the people who have seen or have felt or understand that same, essentially that same experience. So they're all being drawn together. Everyone's being drawn together who are tied to that particular cosmic need, if you will, or cosmic event, you know, that's going to occur or is occurring now. It's no different than people are listening to the show, and you know, or will be listening to the show, who were meant to hear it, because it becomes part of their understanding, part of their and not lexicon, but part of their
experience.
Yeah.
So you know, go ahead.
No, so we're pretty much experiencing that same aspect now. I mean, I'm learning from you. You're learning, you know, from others, and we just become synchronized to that knowledge, and
mm-hmm.
that knowledge moves onward and upward to wherever it has to go, and out to whoever has to hear it, and. That's why I'm grateful we do this show, George, because
yeah.
we touch on a whole lot of information on these nights, and that people just don't hear.
you know, with synchronicity, earlier in the week I was thinking of Peter Moon myself, and you know I've noticed things in my life, you know, are all synchronized. They really are in one form or another. And there's a reason for, you know, all this synchronization. You know, what the reason is, I don't know, other than, you know, I acknowledge that it's being played out. You know, somebody's got playing a very fine game of something, and I acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like it's like when I met Lila, we were kind of synced. It was very odd, and we, you know, we've been together for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're celebrating, actually this month, it makes the 10th year we've been together. It's 10th year that we met, you know. So, it's kind of an interesting time as
and
well.
And our dog's birthday, too.
Our dog's
there
birthday.
There you go.
Yeah.
He was February 14th.
Yeah, we got him a year later. And, yeah.
And he's a very loving dog, so he was born on just the correct day, I think.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, actually, he was born on Valentine's.
Yeah, Valentine's Day, February 14th. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and we think our cat was born around that time too. Even though it was a stray, we were able to. I think it was only a few months old when we got it, probably 3 or 4 months old, and we.
Well, you. You could see the synchronicity, and you could see reasons why you were brought together or why things are being played out.
I think so, yeah. And I think that I mean, Lila has been so supportive in all of this and she's been so great in the partnership here that I don't think I could have done this at all without her, and
mm-hmm.
She wouldn't have even bothered doing it without me, probably.
Mm-hmm.
No, probably not.
Because it was not.
You really need to have
somebody
who's interested
who's doing it,
kind of propels you a little bit. You have to have a little support system, don't you think, George? Some kind of.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And you got to have somebody crazy enough like me to dive in.
And you always had your group, your Tuesday night group.
Yeah.
Did you reassemble your group now that you've moved, or are you?
No, I haven't had time, to be truthful. Hopefully I will this spring, but there's so many other things going on in my life right now that it's like taking the second stage at this point.
If I can go back,
I think in understanding the synchronicity around us. This week, I was thinking of Peter Moon because of things that happened to myself. Now, I was involved in an auto accident earlier in the week. And it was...
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Everyone all right?
Yes and no. In my vehicle, yes. But in the other vehicle, no. Somebody was hurt. And that's the one thing that bothered me, in a sense, where... there's a reason why things happen, and, as it happened, I wasn't the driver of the car, but I was just a passenger.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen it all in slow motion, why it was going on, and mm-hmm. there's nothing that I could do about it other than to experience what happened. Of course, everybody in the car was kicked around a bit, that's for sure. But, I told myself, that there is a reason for this, so I didn't question this happening other than in the synchronicity of things and events, this had to take place. But I felt bad for the person who hurt themselves. Of course, I didn't know them. But there's only so much that I could do, to help them, in that time. But, this was something that they had to experience that I had no control over. Even though, I had no control over really the accident itself. But, it's having to experience that. Now, I experienced it from one aspect, and everybody experiences it differently. And there has been other times in my life where I was the one that was hurt in these accidents, if you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yep.
But, if nothing, it reinforces in me that, this is like a quantum physics, quantum realities, that what we're experiencing is multiple, that we're all part of the same picture that's being played out here. And we can change the whole picture, even the people who are involved in these different events. But, it's a synchronicity that we play, and there's a reason for everything. And, who am I to say that a person has to experience good or bad or bad or good, it's not a matter of good and bad. It's a matter of experience. And that is what we're going through on the sixth night. But we're going through it not only from an imaginary point of view, but from a reality point of view, because our fantasies, our infatuations are turning into reality. And, we've been saying for a while that, we only draw to ourselves, that which we are. And so, what comes around goes around. And you draw things upon yourself that you are to experience and that you can experience.
Hmm. I can understand that. I see that.
So, this has been a learning experience in a sense where, there's something that I'm getting out of this. And if not through, adding character to the day, to the week, it adds character, I think, to... my understanding of the role that I play in, this unity consciousness, if that's what you want to call it that. But it's from an individual basis, it's fun to be part of and not take it personally.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well.
Way to look at it.
Well, that's good. And you've also emphasized the importance of thinking positively and being positive because that's what you attract.
That's true.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You always want to try to look on the positive side of things, I think.
That's, when I give my tarot reading,
I was thinking of that, actually, too.
Yeah, when I did my tarot reading last night for this lady, she it's on the it's in the archives for those who are interested. But we did it, She had an interesting lay of cards, but what I saw was a woman who actually just really needed guidance in a positive direction, because she was a little worried where she was according to the cards, she was more or less susceptible to to anxiety, to worry, to and she had just quit her job as well, so it was difficult for her.
That would make you anxious in today's market.
And you could tell that these things were happening in the cards, but nevertheless, rather than, she was concerned over health, she was concerned with things, but more or less it seemed to appear to be more of a minor issue, in the sense that it was brought upon, you could see a lot more anxiety in the cards. More stress-related type of things, a depression possibly that was more stress-related. But at the same time, it was a positive reading, and I tried to keep it all very positive because I saw a lot of positive aspects to it. So how you motivate your own mind in these things, the spirits kind of lay it out for you, the cards lay it out for you, but how you interpret it, can be either to the positive or the negative.
Well, you don't want to give any support or any power to the negative.
No, you really don't. And so you want to make it an encouraging.
Well, who are you to say if it's going to be positive or negative, other than, Leo, you just happen to be the focus point or the piece that this woman needed. In her own studies or, her own
understanding. I felt that way. Anytime that I do this, it's like, I don't know if people are going to call in or not, and if they do, then I feel that there was a need for that to happen.
Yeah.
If they don't, then, that was supposed to be not, So it's like, I don't become anxious about it. I just accept it for what it is. And when it is,
and if you can help people with some guidance that way.
Yeah, exactly. If I can give somebody some guidance through these, and again, I say guidance. It's not my guidance. It's what I see in the cards.
Well, you also ask for guidance yourself.
Oh yeah.
Then you're asking for positive guidance from the highest and best source.
Yeah.
And then through you, you're able to give people some direction. And hopefully they can decide whether they want
to
take it or not. That's up to them.
But
in the meanwhile, they give you guidance.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And the encouragement, what encouraged me was that my readings were right on. They felt very strongly that I was talking about them, and that there was, and that it was, they saw truth there. And that's what the tarot does. It brings them to a sense of reality that saying, "Wow, you can see that in my cards." Yes, I can. So in the night last week, I did two tarot readings that one night, and it was the same kind of thing where it was a revelation to them, but it all turning to a positive into a positive message, because there were many positive messages within the cards,
mm-hmm.
and. It was nice to leave them that way, Well, you might leave them, you might give them a warning based on what you see, but at the same time, you have to try to turn it around, because if somebody is in dire straits and needs help, they don't need you to say, "Well, you're going to die in a week," you know what I'm saying? In the cards. May not say that. The cards would just say, be aware of this factor, or be aware of this, is in your...
It's how you phrase what you... It's how you say what you have to
say.
And you want to communicate in the best way that you can.
Yeah.
There you go.
If
you can do it in the kindest way, since you're dealing with somebody's
emotional
and physical and intellectual and
life.
So on makeup, and they allow you to do that personally. Like, if you almost have to feel like a physician if somebody comes to you, and you know what I mean. But
you have to be very cautious.
You have to be careful.
Careful.
But at the same time, on the other coin, you can also be I mean, not doing the tarot, but in another position, it's kind of, you know, we can discuss politics or metaphysics in many ways, and we can have arguments, and we can have insights, and we can have a discourse. But unlike tarot, where you have to be a little, you have to be much more restrained in your, I think. You have to be more careful.
Because somebody may be depending on you for something.
That's right.
So you have to be careful how you say things.
It may simply be hope. You know?
Yeah, and you want to make sure that
hope,
you do it in the right way.
Right.
But anyway, so that's where we are with that.
We do agree with each other. But, George, it was great. The show's not streaming now, but it was great having you on again. And we're sorry to hear about your troubles there, but hopefully they'll all turn to the better.
If nothing, it adds character to the week, that's for sure. But it was an interesting week.
But we're glad that you're okay.
We're just glad you guys are all right. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
And everybody's okay. That's what counts.
Yeah.
And
there we go.
Blessings that way. So.
Nobody died and nobody got seriously wounded, so we're hoping everything works out for you.
But it will work out in the end. I'm not worried about it, but it's just kind of hectic going through it. But I want to thank you guys for having me on again. I really enjoy coming on the show with you.
We love having you, and it's great to talk to you, George.
And thanks for being on tonight.
Thank you.
We know it was a tight one for you. So
give our love to everybody.
Yeah.
Will do, and I'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Okay, George. Good night.
Good night, George.
Good night, now. I'll be with you.
All right.
You too.
And we want to thank everyone for joining us, and we wish you a good new weekend.
And
join us back here on Wednesday night.
And good night, folks.
And if you miss us, you can get us on WQQQ.com on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10. So we check that one out. And okay. So thanks, and have a pleasant evening.